Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me now, as he does every single Tuesday at this time, that is Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast. We had a live show last night with Christian. He was nowhere to be found. He's got a lot going on in his life right this second with a wedding coming up. But it usually drops. We record on Monday, drops Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Bluff. Christian, what's happening, man?
Nothing much. I'm doing great, Gabe. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm going to ask you a question off the top, very thought-provoking, and I'm going to ask you it in plain English. How much thought should the University of Memphis give to moving on from Ryan Silverfield and ushering in a new era? Obviously, two straight losses. They have Navy coming up and then a bowl game. What do you think?
I think that it's kind of weird that this question is just now being asked. Like, after all these years, I don't think I've heard that question as bluntly put as you did. Right now, I think minimal to no consideration, even though the back-to-back losses is, I mean, this season as a whole, which is so crazy what a couple of weeks can do, but you go from the top of the mountain to now back-to-back losses against Tulane and against East Carolina. And now you, like you said, you look ahead, you got Navy coming up, who always gives Memphis trouble, is always going to play a tight game with Navy, and then a bowl game after that. And so I think these last two games will dictate a lot. Because if Memphis goes lost to Tulane, lost to ECU, lost to Navy, and then a loss in the bowl game,
that's tricky.
Some difficult conversations have to be right. Had at that point. Because, I mean, I've heavily advocated for Ryan. I'm a big fan of Ryan. Like, I do have personal bias in it because I know the guy. And I've had a lot of conversations with him. And I like Ryan Silverfield. So anyone that wants to call me biased is fine. I do have some personal bias towards Ryan. And I know you have some also. But the thing is yes, they've been close, and it feels like the breakthrough is coming. And if it was just the loss to Tulane and they bounce back against ECU and they beat ECU and they beat Navy and they win a bowl game like we talked about last week, then the conversation of should he be fired or should the discussion be brought up, that whole conversation would have been null and void.
Yes.
Even though people wouldn't have liked it because they weren't in the conference championship.
That would be an 11-win season again, you know. So, like,
exactly.
For sure.
It would be basically the same exact thing as last year. But now, and people are like, are they quitting? Do they not care anymore? I didn't necessarily felt like they quit against ECU by any means. They didn't play a great game, but it didn't feel like a team that was just packing it in and calling it a day. But it also didn't feel like a team that was as close to a conference championship as we thought
right
a couple of weeks ago. And who knows? Is that an internal thing? Is that just a bit of a loss of motivation because of how high the high got and how far they had fallen after the Tulane loss? I don't know. We're not in the locker room, so we can't really fully know the extent of what's going on. But like I said, if you drop one to Navy and then in a bowl game and you end the season on a 4-game losing streak after you were the favorite
right
to represent the non-Power 4 schools in the college football playoff, then absolutely a conversation has to be had. And I talked about this last week, right, with the expectations. They weren't high going into the season, so maybe we need to reset a little bit. But at the same time, they reset the expectations when they beat Arkansas and they're a good football team.
Worth mentioning too, like the value. I know the value of this program, and I know what's being sunk into it from a resource perspective. So, like, even if it wasn't Ryan, I know that there's another coach out there that'd be willing to take this job. It's a very, very nice gig. It just truly is. Yeah, it's in the Group of Five. Most people aspire to the Power Four. Understand that part of it. But if you're not getting a Power 4 gig, or if you're up for, like, lower-level Power 4 gigs, this is arguably better.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But then, and here comes maybe my biggest point on should there be consideration to move on from Ryan after this season in the now, and if he does drop a couple more games in the year, is can you get an upgrade? Now, obviously, you can't get anything. I mean, you can't guarantee anything. You could hire the next guy that goes on to be an heir apparent at a massive Power 4 school.
Which is kind of what you hope for, right, ultimately?
Of course.
Right.
Or you could hire someone that sets the program back 5 to 6 years.
Yes, that's the be careful what you wish for thinking, thought process.
Yeah, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So what's more likely? More likely is you make a hire that doesn't increase the trajectory of this program. Odds are at a non-power school making a hire, it is a difficult thing to do to execute that hire properly. Now, you have a better percentage of doing it at Memphis than you do Akron or
sure.
A school like
yeah.
that has no history in the sport. But it's still, there's no guarantee to it. It's very difficult. And so it just becomes how aggressive does this athletic staff want to be? Do they want to keep in this 8 to 10 games, one per year, and be right in the mix for the conference championship? Or do they want to take a home run swing and try to find the next up-and-comer that in a couple of years is being mentioned for some of the high-level jobs? Are they, you know, do they find the next Mike Norvell? Do they find the next John Summerall at Tulane? Do they find one of these guys, or do they strike out? I don't know. It just depends how aggressive they want to be. If they're not happy with the direction of it, if they don't feel like Ryan can get them over the top because of recruiting or on-the-field coaching or on-the-field performance or whatever the case may be, like if you feel that way as an athletic staff, then I think you have to take the swing. But if they feel confident and they feel comfortable in what they have and they feel like they really are right on the edge of being an American Conference championship team, then you keep going with Ryan and hope things fall into place. And
that's where you want to climb into Ed Scott's brain about where this program's 100%. At right now. And I'm not totally sure, you know, his thoughts at this particular moment. Right.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know Ed personally, so I don't have any insight on this. But at least from the things that I've seen in the media and interactions I've heard about, he seems like a pretty aggressive athletic director. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you know something I don't.
Oh, he is.
Just from what I've seen so far in his time at Memphis, he seems aggressive, and I know he wants to win, and I know he wants to have an American Conference championship at Memphis. And it, like you said, it's just crawling into his head. Like, how does he feel? Does he think Ryan can do it, or does he think he needs to find the next guy? And that's what it comes down to. And that could be the case whether Memphis wins this game against Navy and wins a bowl game or drops and loses 4 in a row. It all depends on what he sees as the direction of this football program.
Yep. Now sticking with the coaching conversation, James Franklin hired at Virginia Tech. Thoughts on that hire, and then we'll get to Lane Kiffin.
I think it is perfect, and I think that's like a dream scenario for Virginia Tech, because do I think that they're a sleeping giant? No, I don't think that they're a sleeping giant. I think that'd be very hyperbolic. But I do think that they can be a school that is much more competitive than they've shown over the last, 10 years or so? Like, Virginia Tech's had some really good years throughout the course of their program history. And to me, for them, no, they're not going to recruit at the highest level. They're not going to recruit at a top 15 level. But I think James Franklin can get them to a top 25 to top 30 level recruiting, probably on the low end. He could probably be in the low teens in recruiting. And we know, as far as on the field coaching, whether people want to say it or not, he's one of the best in the country.
Yeah.
I know he didn't
wins
win
ball
the big
games.
One. I know he can't win the big one. That's the thing about James Franklin. But he won a lot of football games at Penn State, and he brought that Penn State program back. And I think he's the perfect fit for Virginia Tech. I think he fits the mold of what they want. Is he Frank Beamer? No, he's not necessarily Frank Beamer, but like he kind of has the same way about him. You know, I think they have a lot of the same values, and I think they run a program pretty similarly. I just know from the few times being around that program and hearing things about Penn State, it was a very tight ship that James Franklin ran. Like, he's organized, he's on his P's and Q's. I think he's a really good football coach, and I think it's a perfect fit at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and again, I think it highlights what programs are looking for, different programs are looking for in the current day and age. Right, Penn State was, hey, this is national title or bust. We have to get through. We have all these returning players. You have to make something happen. He goes 3-3. He gets fired. I understand why. Not that I necessarily like fully agree with it, but I completely understand Penn State's decision. But with Virginia Tech, they, since Beamer, have just not been a program that has been able to live up to the expectations. Right, they have not been a program that's been able to string together a couple of good seasons in a row. They're looking for stability. And when I look at coaches that do provide stability, even though he has not won the big game, did not win the big game at Penn State, one thing that James Franklin has, and you can't take away from him, he had stability at a time in Penn State's history that was a little bit shaky when he took over.
Yeah, I mean, he was extremely consistent. They were constantly in the conversation as a national championship contender. And we know, like, the ACC needs some things to spice up over there, because it hasn't been pretty the last couple of years. Since we've seen Clemson go downhill, the ACC has not been great. And we thought that might be, you know, that Bill Belichick might spice things up and North Carolina might spice things up. That didn't happen. But for Virginia Tech, like, I see a coach that fits there, brings them the stability and consistency that you were talking about, brings them a level of recruiting they haven't had in quite some time. And if he's able to get the money behind him as far as recruiting goes, which I would think Virginia Tech boosters would be much more willing to give money to a football program led by James Franklin than pretty much anyone else that they could have gotten in this cycle, Then I think Virginia Tech will be extremely competitive with him running the program.
The only concern that ultimately I you know can come up with is we have seen on multiple occasions in college football's history where a guy builds himself up to get one of those premier jobs, then he gets fired and he has to take a step back down, rehab his coaching ability, show people that he can still do it. And sometimes you don't see the same hunger from those guys when they have to take a step down. So that would be my only concern, but I don't necessarily think, like, James Franklin got a massive buyout from Penn State. He could have just sat on his rear end, gone to the beach, got his beach house, and chilled for a while with the money that he's getting from Penn State. The fact that he's taking a job right this second, mid-season, as soon as you could make a hire for Virginia Tech, it does show me there's still some hunger left in him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, sometimes in these scenarios, you'll see a coach take a year or two off and kind of enjoy their spoils. But with him, he said it in the first time that he spoke publicly after being fired. He was like, "I'm just ready to get back to somewhere. Like, yep. I'm just ready to be a football coach again." And I think that tells you all you need to know about James Franklin. And let's not forget, because I feel like this is a conversation that might be a little bit lost. Everyone's talking about James Franklin at Penn State and what he did there. Let's not forget what he did at Vanderbilt.
Sure.
Which is a school with much less history, and definitely at the time James Franklin was there, much less resources than Virginia Tech. So if he's still the same dude, like if he still wants to work as hard as he did at Vanderbilt and Penn State and is not ready to kick the feet up yet, which he's given no indication of, then I just see him having success. I just think he's one of those coaches, which there, you know, there are a few around the country that if you know, regardless of where they are, they're going to play a specific brand of football. And really at the end of the day, what that boils down to is just winning football. Like they just play winning football wherever they coach. And I believe that James Franklin is one of those coaches.
All right. On the Lane Kiffin front, we'll save the big question for the end of this conversation, but I'm curious your thoughts about how he is handling this. He's still doing his normal trolling social media type of, you know, act, I guess. And maybe it's not an act. We've seen it from Lane Kiffin since he's, you know, been in the spotlight. But, you know, I think Ole Miss fans are frustrated. I think the people behind the scenes in the athletic department are a bit frustrated. They want clarity. There's been some reports about his family going to Baton Rouge, his family going to Gainesville to check out schools for the kids. There's a lot going on. So how do you feel about the way Lane Kiffin is handling the situation at the moment?
Yeah, I don't know how you handle this. Like to be completely honest, with the current landscape of college football, it is a dog eats dog world. It is difficult, especially with the recruiting calendar now and all the changes that are being made. Like, it is hard to wait out a decision. But for him, like, in the midst of the season that Ole Miss is in, with one game left, they look like a team that should host a playoff game during the first week of the college football playoff. And to have these reports where it's like, you know, private planes coming to pick them up to go to Baton Rouge, they've already been to Gainesville and all these things. Like, I don't know to say if he's handling it right or wrong, because I don't know how you handle it.
Right.
I don't know how you allow other schools to court you while you stay engaged and try to lead your program to a national championship, because you know, through 11 games, they've been one of the best teams in the country.
Yep.
They're one of the highest ranked teams in the country. Like, I don't know how you balance that. If you are actually going to consider going somewhere else and not staying at that place, I don't know how else you do it. I really don't. So I think it's a terrible position to be in as a coach, because yes, he's got a great season going on right now. They're still completely wide open to compete for a national championship. But if he believes that his next stop is in Baton Rouge or in Gainesville, then you don't really have time to drag your feet, and neither do those other schools, because
these are $100+ million decisions. I keep saying it. These are massive decisions.
Yes, and those schools, LSU and Florida, they know how important recruiting is. They know how good of a recruiter that Lane is. So if he's going to build them into what he's built Ole Miss into,
got to hit the ground running.
National championship. Yeah, you got to hit the ground running. You got to get your guys in, and you got to be prepared for the next season. So if he's going to stay at Ole Miss, if that's his plan all along and this is just a ploy to get more money, then I think he's completely handling it the wrong way.
Sure.
If he actually is considering going to LSU or Florida, which is what it seems like, and from all the hearsay is what it sounds like, at least at the moment, then I don't know how else you go about it. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing for the Ole Miss football program to have to deal with this while also managing the expectations of what's to come over the next month. But I don't know. I feel like as a coach in Lane Kiffin's position, your hands are tied, and there's not a right way to handle this.
And it's kind of funny that I'm going to ask you your opinion on this, because I've been through a coaching switch, sort of knowing that a coach was flirting with other schools and he would likely leave or potentially leave in Justin Fuente in 2015. So, like, I've dealt with this. But, you know, it came up in his presser after the Florida game where he said, I think it would be disrespectful to talk about my plans considering how well his team played. Now, I don't know how to feel about that, because I think it would be respectful to be honest. It's always relatively respectful to be honest. But at the same time, like, if you're trying to get the most out of your guys, make a run in the CFP, finish out the season strong, is it better to be completely honest up front or to leave that unknown in there, try to keep them playing hard and keep that off their mind? Like, I think in any, you know, any decision you make on that front, it's still going to be in their mind to a certain extent. But I don't know which side of that sort of coin I fall on. Like, what's the better way to handle it? Because I don't think there's any particularly perfect way to handle it.
I think for me, the best way, totally my opinion on how to handle it, I wouldn't say anything to the media. I wouldn't put anything out there publicly whatsoever. Like, I think I would do what he, you know, I'm not going to comment on that. Want to talk about this game, want to talk about this team and what's left this season, not about other potential jobs. But I think behind the scenes, because it's everywhere, right? It's one of the hottest stories in college football right now. Lane Kiffin, where is he going to go? You know, being courted by two other SEC schools right now. I think you have to sit the team down and discuss this with them and be completely open and honest of either, hey, look, you're going to hear a lot of noise, but I'm not going anywhere. Like, this is where I want to be. This is where I plan to be moving forward. Like, that's it. It's shut down. It's not happening. You have my word on that. Or if you are being courted by those schools, which is what it appears to be, then you say, you know, hey, look, this is what's happening. I'm going to be very transparent and open and honest because I want you guys to know that I'm here, I'm present, I'm totally trying to win a national championship with this team right now, but also listening to other offers, but I'm here. Like, don't, you know, I don't want anyone checking out. I don't want anyone being worried about anything. I'm handling that stuff on my end, but I'm going to be the same coach I've been all year. I'm going to, you know, show up and sure. be there and give the same attention I've given all year. I think that's how you get the best out of your team, right? Because if you get up there and lie to them and tell them you're not going anywhere, and then they see reports that you're on a plane to Baton Rouge, you're gonna have some players.
You're a liar at that point. You're a liar at that point.
And they feel like you're kind of pulling the wool over their eyes. So I think the only way to handle it is, even though it might be difficult, to be open and transparent. That way everyone's on the same page and has a certain expectation and knows what's going on. You know, if it surfaces that you've agreed to become the coach at LSU next year, everybody's not looking at you like, what happened? Like, I thought you weren't even listening to these schools, and now it's announced that you're going there. Like, you can't play both sides of the fence. You have to be honest with your team, or I think you are completely in danger of losing them.
All right, now playing up yes or no question to end this conversation. Will he be at Ole Miss next year this time?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Cool.
You don't even want to give me a yes or no. Look at that. Unreal.
I'm just, for right now, I'm just going to say no.
Okay. Okay. It feels that way at the moment with all the unknown and the fact that there's a lot of coaches around the country. Kurt Cignetti's an example of that, that re-signed at the current place he's at, shut it down completely. There's a couple other coaches that have shut it down completely. He hasn't. It's wide open. If he wanted to be at Ole Miss and remove any doubt from the situation, he would have probably re-upped on a contract at this moment. It would have been done.
Yeah, I agree. If it was me, I think it's either LSU or Ole Miss. I wouldn't even entertain Florida. I've said this multiple times. I think Ole Miss is currently a better job than Florida. LSU is one of the three best jobs in the country, so I get that. But Florida would make no sense to me. Florida's the only one where I'd throw my hands up and go, why? I would say you should have just stayed at Ole Miss. So
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities with the Steve Spurrier.
I don't either.
You know, connection and that type of thing? You know, where he's from, where he's been in his life. He likes the state of Florida.
No, I don't think it's out of the question. No, I'm saying if it was me personally,
yes,
I
sure.
think he has a longevity has a lot better chance at Ole Miss than Florida. Has Ole Miss completely going in the right direction. The only thing is, like, look, you go to LSU, anybody can win a national championship at LSU.
Yeah, less miles and O
and Coach
handle
O.
business. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. It's a testy situation right now. Kind of wild to watch. All right, now final thing. We only have a couple more minutes, so we're gonna have to be relatively quick. Tiger basketball. Well, it's really been a bad start to the season for both the basketball teams in the city. Grizzlies sit there at 4-10. Have the Spurs tonight. We'll have it right here at 92.9 FM ESPN right after you get off. But then the Tigers 1-2. Loss against Ole Miss was not horrible by any stretch of the imagination. Stuck in there, fought their tail off. I had some hope after that game, but then they return home this past Sunday and lose by 14 to a UNLV team that does not look to be very good. And Josh Pastner's return to the city. I guess give me your overarching thoughts. We only have a couple more minutes.
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. Last week we talked about San Francisco and said, hey, look, they covered in this game. They looked pretty decent, spread the ball around. We'll have to wait until next week to see. I think we saw this thing's not going in the right direction. The Ole Miss loss, like you said, wasn't a bad loss. They played well. They were in that game. They had opportunities to lead in that game and to win that game. If a few more shots fall and they have a few more stops defensively, UNLV loss is terrible. I think they were down two starters in that game.
Three.
They are three starters in that game. They already had a couple losses on the season. Like, they didn't look good at all in their previous games, and really Memphis never looked like they had a chance. And then after the game, you get Penny saying about Julius Tedford and Simon Mahoke that they were the people that he expected to step up and be the cornerstones of this team. So that tells you whatever's going on in the locker room right now, it can't be good, because those are not the guys that you brought in to lead this team to what you wanted it to be. So with Baha Mar coming up and Purdue and all these difficult non-conference matchups, like, I don't have much hope right now. They would have to turn things on a dime for them to make any noise in the non-conference.
Yeah, and I don't like being disrespectful to young college players, but I'm gonna say this pretty clearly. They have an Aaron Bradshaw problem. It's probably the second highest paid player on this roster, and I you're not getting anything from him, and it almost feels like through these first three games he's not really playable. It's like a guy you can't really throw on the floor because of all the mistakes he's making, turnovers, lack of offensive production, defense not necessarily in the right spot every time, can't really body up in one-on-ones against other bigs. It's been frustrating to watch. But, Christian, I will let you roll, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We'll see y'all back next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler at CFowlerBCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, On the Bluff, releases every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Now, we need to go ahead and get up out of here. Thanks for listening. We're going to pass you off to Grizzlies versus the Spurs. It'll be on NBC tonight, but no Victor Wembanyama, no Ja Morant. We'll see how watchable it is by the end of the day. But for Connor, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.